It's time now for another exciting adventure from the case files of one of the most brilliant minds in all of crime-fighting history, Nick Guy, Private Eye. When we left our heroes last time, they had been hired by Ramen Spaghetto.
I am a performer at the Glacial Palace Ice Opera House's production of 19th Century American Poets on Ice, which my manservant Rudolfo will confirm for you.
He is cast in the role of Ralph Waldo Emerson.
The production is being directed by Olivier Refazelli.
Places, everyone, places!
Other members of the cast include Tony and Ostentatia Bland.
Then up stepped Mighty Casey as he strode up to the bat.
Tony, my darling, why are you reciting that poem about baseball?
Baseball? Are you sure? For some reason, I thought it had something to do with caves, or maybe telescopes.
Douglas Mountbatten III was playing the role of Henry David Thoreau.
Who is this Douglas person you speak of?
Douglas Mountbatten III is a method actor. Once he takes on a role, he immerses himself deeply into the character.
The cast was set and well rehearsed. But on opening night, Ostentatia Bland, who was playing the role of Emily Dickinson, had an accident. The blade of one of her skates came loose and she fell, causing her to twist her ankle.
It was sabotage. And I suspect Christine Journay of being the saboteur.
Christine Journay had been hired as the assistant to the assistant prop manager just a week before this accident. But when Ostentatia Bland was injured, Olivier Refazelli turned to her to fill the now vacant role.
Oh, but I'm not much of a skater.
But as I understand it, you have been rehearsing Ostentatia's lines and studying her moves on your off time. Well, if anyone here knows the part of Emily Dickinson, it's you. Well, you must go on.
Oh, but I don't think I can.
Olivier Refazelli persisted, and eventually Christine Journay agreed to take on the role of Emily Dickinson. And as she approached the ice to make her entrance, she was suddenly overcome by a sense of self-confidence. And with an almost trance-like determination, she took to the ice.
I shall, I can, I must perform.
And perform she did, so well in fact that she was the hit of the show. And her captivating performance captivated the heart of Ramen Spaghetto.
Rudolfo, tell the listeners how I feel about Christine.
Yes, sir. He is in love with her.
After the show was over, Ramen went down to Christine's dressing room to congratulate and court her. But as he approached her door, he heard Christine speaking to a man. He waited in the shadows to see who his rival for Christine's affections was. Christine eventually left her dressing room, but she left alone. When Ramen entered to discover the identity of this mysterious man, the room was empty. Later on, he asked Christine about her visitor, but she denied the encounter.
I just don't know what you're talking about.
And so, Ramen Spaghetto has hired Nick Guy to get to the bottom of the mystery. Our heroes went down to the Glacial Palace Ice Opera House to meet the cast and crew. While they were there, they heard organ music playing.
Well, that is Guston Griminov, the Ice Opera House organist.
Nick Guy and Dr. DeSoto went to speak with Guston Griminov, but upon entering the loge where the music was coming from, they encountered a rather confusing sight. We pick up the action now as we hear Nick Guy speak.
The organ is playing, but there's no one playing it. Listen to that. It even makes mistakes with no one playing it. Oh, Guy, look. Over there, there's a man talking on a cell phone.
Vinny, is that you? I want to place a bet on today's interspecies mammal races. The third race is between moose and squirrel. For me, you will put down $1,000 on squirrel.
Oh, excuse me.
Who are you? And what are you doing here in the organ loge?
I'm Nick Guy, Private Eye, and this is my associate, Dr. DeSoto. And you must be Guston Griminov, the organist.
That should be obvious.
Well, it's not all that obvious. For one thing, you're not playing the organ.
This is only because organ is playing on sequenced preset. I have all of music digitally programmed to play by itself. That comes in handy for me when I need to prepare for the next number, or respond to an urgent need that requires my presence elsewhere.
I see you even program mistakes in it.
Just a little glitch in the system. So what is Private Eye doing here anyway?
We were hired to investigate the strange happenings last evening when Ostentatia Bland twisted her ankle and Christine Jornet took her place in the show.
Ostentatia Bland suspects foul play.
She is just jealous. Christine Jornet is being an exceptional skater. Her performance took much praise and attention away from Ostentatia, and not being center of attention is something Ostentatia does not like.
So you don't think her injury was the result of sabotage?
No, I don't. But it might very well have been the work of the Phantom of the Ice Opera.
The Phantom of the Ice Opera? Who's that?
Many stories for many years have been told of mysterious and sinister things happening here at Glacial Palace of Ice Opera House. He always appears wearing black cape and mask, a mask that looks like a skull, and he has beady little red eyes. But no one ever caught him, or found where he lived at lower level of Ice Opera House.
He's supposed to have lived in the lower level of the Ice Opera House?
Yes, and there was being underground river to be crossed, and he had room with walls being mirrors.
A mirrored room? Why would he have a mirrored room?
And Phantom is eccentric. Who can know?
Oh, but that all seems rather...
You must please to excuse me. Song is almost over. I don't have preset for next song. I must perform it myself.
Nick Guy and I decided to get some more information on this so-called Phantom of the Ice Opera, as well as more information on the somewhat mysterious Christine Jornet. To this end, we went to meet our favorite informant, Loose Lips Louis. We found him at his favorite booth at the short diner with the long menu. He was wearing earphones listening to music.
Hey, Nick Guy. Hey, Dr. DeSoto. I'm listening to the soundtrack from 19th Century American Poets on Ice. I just went to see it performed at the Glacial Palace Ice Opera House. Boy, that woman who plays the starring role is incredible. She's a virtual unknown named Christine Jornet.
Well, actually, that's who we came to talk to you about. We were hoping you could tell us a little bit about her.
Well, it is a rather incredible story. She had recently been hired as the assistant to the assistant prop manager. And the next thing you know, she's the toast of the entire ice opera community.
Well, do you know anything about her past?
Well, Christine Jornet had worked as the assistant to a magician who called himself Eric the Marbleous.
Eric the Marbleous? The Marbleous?
Well, it was supposed to be Eric the Marvelous, and he was with the Barkham and Bailiff Circus. Well, the printers misspelled his name on the marquee, and Mr. Barkham couldn't afford to have it changed, so from that time on, he was Eric the Marbleous.
Was this Eric the Marbleous with the circus for very long?
Yes, but then something happened, and Eric ended up leaving the circus in disgrace. Obviously, that meant Christine was out of work. She did odd jobs here and there until she got the job with the ice opera.
She claims to have never skated before in her life.
From what I read in the reviews, just prior to taking the ice, she got incredibly focused on her performance. I guess that shows what determination and concentration can do for you.
Well, does she have any close family or friends? Does she have any especially close male friends?
Well, Christine doesn't have any family to speak of, and by all accounts, she lives alone, and she doesn't go out much.
What can you tell us about her character? Is Christine Jornet the kind of woman who would do something underhanded to get a role in an ice opera?
She seems to be a morally upright Christian girl. Actually, her record is very clean.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard anything about a supposed Phantom of the Ice Opera?
Oh, the Phantom of the Ice Opera? Well, that's an old legend that goes back many years. The story is about a man who lives in the lower levels of the Glacial Palace Ice Opera House. Oh, there are stories about an underground river and a room with mirrored walls. The phantom would roam through the building, causing all kinds of mischief. But all of those stories are more fantasy than reality. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to get back to listening to the ice opera.
We returned to the Glacial Palace Ice Opera House as the cast was gathering in the main lobby, talking with the press. Most of the attention was focused on Christine Journay. Ramen Spaghetto was by her side, and Rudolfo, Ramen Spaghetto's manservant, was by his side.
Members of the press, Miss Journay is more than happy to answer all of your questions. Well, tell them, Rudolfo.
Yes, sir. Miss Journay is happy to answer all of your questions.
I believe I said that she would be more than happy, Rudolfo?
Of course, sir. More than happy.
Miss Journay, Nick Whitley with Reality Check Radio. How do you account for your amazing skating ability when you've had no formal training?
Oh, I can't account for it. Monsieur Raffaelli says I am natural. I guess it must be true.
Miss Journay, Amanda Lynn from WPST. During your performance, the expression on your face was one of intense focus. What were you thinking at the time?
I can't honestly say. I don't exactly remember. Monsieur Raffaelli says my attention was concentrated completely on skating and singing.
Miss Journay, over here!
Miss Journay!
I am sorry. I need to go now. I need to go.
Miss Journay! Miss Journay!
Please, ladies and gentlemen of the press, I ask that you respect Miss Journay's privacy, please. That is all we have for now. You will leave. Go! Go! Oh, look, there is Nick Guy, Private Eye. Nick Guy, what information do you have for me? Do you know the identity of my rival for Christine's affections?
Oh, no. And from what we've gathered so far, Miss Journay doesn't have very many friends, male or female. But there is something very mysterious about her that...
Hey, what's that?
Hey, somebody help me over here. Come on, help me.
It sounds like Mr. Peavy. It came from the back hall that leads to the dressing rooms.
Let's go.
We found Mr. Peavy lying on the floor beside a fallen ladder.
What happened, Mr. Peavy?
What happened? I fell, that's what happened.
Well, then, how did it happen?
I was up on this here ladder, changing that light bulb up there. Then I heard footsteps, someone walking toward me.
Well, did you see who it was?
It was a young girl, Christine Journay. I said hi to her, but I don't think she noticed me. She just kept walking past, saying, I must find it. I must find it.
I must find it? Must find what?
Well, how would I know? You need to ask her. So anyway, I went back to work, you know, changing this here light bulb. When the next thing I know, someone's pushing my ladder over, and down I go. I think I might have sprained my wrist.
Well, did you see who pushed the ladder over?
Well, I did see someone running away from me, and they turned around and looked back at me.
What did he look like?
Well, it was pretty dark. You see, I was pushed before I could change that light bulb. But it was someone wearing a black cape, and they had a mask on. It was a mask that looked like a skull. And through the mask, I could see that he had two little beady red eyes. And one more thing. That guy sure did smell some really bad body odor. That fella could use a bath.
Just then, Christine Journay came out of her dressing room.
Oh, Monsieur Peavy, are you all right?
Well, somebody pushed this ladder over when Mr. Peavy was on it. When you passed him just a moment ago, did you see anyone else in the hallway?
Oh, when I passed him a moment ago? I don't remember passing him.
You don't remember?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I guess my mind was so fixed on tonight's performance, I never even noticed him. Oh, Monsieur Peavy, I'm so sorry. I hope you don't think me rude.
Rude? No, I don't think you're rude.
So, you didn't see a man with a black cape and wearing a mask that looked like a skull?
And don't forget about those two little beady red eyes.
Oh, no. And believe me, had I seen someone like that, I would have remembered him.
Later that evening, about a half hour before the performance was to begin, Nick Guy and I were walking through the Glacial Palace Ice Opera House when we saw the organist, Guston Griminoff, heading up to the organ loge.
So, Nick Guy,
You've seen that the stories of the Phantom of the Ice Opera House may be true after all.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
So what? You're thinking young Christine pushed over ladder? You thinking she is villain?
Well, I'm not...
You have nothing to fear from her, Nick Guy. I know Miss Christine.
You do?
Griminov used to be organist for Barkham and Bailiff Circus. We met there. She worked for Eric the Marvelous. I do not like Eric, but Christine, she I like. Christine good, Eric, him not marvelous, him unmarvelous.
Well, that's interesting,
you listen to me. Don't be so easy to discount Phantom of the Ice Opera. No one ever found where he live in lower level of Ice Opera House, with river and room of mirrors.
Well, that's all pretty far-fetched.
Stranger things are being real.
As Gustav Griminov left us, Nick Guy had a thought.
DeSoto, why don't you go down to our seats? I want to follow this organist for a bit. There's something about him that bothers me.
I left Nick Guy, and he followed after Gustav Griminov. As he passed a small alcove, someone called out to him.
Oh, Nick Guy?
Christine Journay, what are you doing here?
I need to talk to you, Nick Guy.
Well, of course. What can I do for you?
Not here. Somebody might be listening in. Follow me. I know a good place where we can have some privacy.
Nick Guy followed Christine Journay down the hall and into a small equipment room. She quietly closed the door behind them.
So, what's going on?
Well, I'm not really sure. You see, I seem to be, I don't know, all out of...
Just then, they heard a commotion outside of the room. Nick Guy decided to investigate, but when he turned and opened the door, Christine jumped him from behind.
Hey, what are you doing?
Must stop him.
Hearing the commotion, I ran to where they were. I found Nick Guy somewhat dazed and lying on the floor, and Christine Journay lying beside him and in a faint. When Christine came to, she didn't remember attacking Nick Guy at all.
Oh, I can't explain what happened. I would never do anything to hurt anyone.
But you wanted to tell me something. What was it?
I don't think that is a good idea now. Besides, I have to get ready to go on the ice. The show will be starting in less than... Oh, 10 minutes!
As Christine Journay hurried off, Nick Guy and I found ourselves quite confused.
I don't understand it, DeSoto. One minute she wanted my help, and the next minute she attacks me. And I do have to say this, for a young girl, she is incredibly strong. Well, she held me down, and I couldn't break free from her.
But what caused the noise outside of the room? Or what was out there?
Well, that's equally as confusing. It was kind of hard to see, but out in the hallway, I saw what looked like someone wearing a black cape. And he was wearing a mask. A mask that looked like a skull.
At that evening's performance, Miss Journay performed spectacularly. And, as in the case of the evening before, her performance received a thunderous round of applause. After the show, Olivier Raffaelli gathered the cast and crew for a meeting.
Well, I must say that I was very pleased with your performances this evening, especially you, Miss Journay. You were superb. Your skating was poetry in motion. And your poetry was motion with words.
Oh, merci, Monsieur Raffaelli.
I do have a few items I would like to address, though. First of all, Tony Bland, you were ad-libbing again, weren't you?
I was, Mr. Raffaelli, but I had no choice. It struck me odd that Emily Bronte and Edgar Allan Poe hadn't arrived on the ice to do their duet. So I knew I had to do something to fill in the vacuum.
But Emily Bronte and Edgar Allan Poe don't have a duet in this show.
Ah, no wonder it struck me as odd.
And Douglas Mountbatten III.
Who?
I mean, Henry David Thoreau. You stopped in the middle of your performance to look at a bug that you saw on the ice?
But, sir, I have a great love for biology, and I thought I had seen an ice crawler. Everyone knows that they are wingless insects that are found in the cold, on top of mountains, and on the edges of glaciers. It is rare to find one in this warmer climate.
I can appreciate the fact that you are a method actor, but please limit your method acting to poetry.
Oh, Mr. Refazelli, I have a topic I would like to bring up.
Oh, yes, ostentatious bland. What is that?
I would like to revisit the issue of cancelling our performance on Good Friday. I've had a change of heart. I believe in honor of the High Christian Holy Day, we should not perform. Tony, my dear, would you please back me up on this?
I agree with my lovely wife, Ostentatia. As she explained to me just this morning, Fridays are always high audience attendance night, and by canceling a Friday performance, Christine Journay would be denied any additional ice time.
You don't have to go into the details, my dear.
Ice time that belongs to Ostentatia. Ice time that is hers. All hers.
Tony! My darling, would you please stop backing me up on this?
I see no reason to close the show on one of our most popular nights just to commemorate what amounts to metaphysical child abuse. As I stated earlier, who can love a god who would abuse his own son by crucifying him?
With all due respect, monsieur, Jesus did not go to the cross because his father abused him. He went by his own will and desire. As he stated in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep.
Say, that has a rather poetic feel to it.
The Bible doesn't speak of a father abandoning his child to the cross, but rather it describes a son willingly giving up his life for his people. As Jesus said in John 10:18, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Actually, Jesus on the cross is not viewed as a victim, but as a victor.
Well said, Miss Journay.
Rodolfo, I will tell you when you think something is well said.
Oh, yes, of course, sir.
Rodolfo, tell Miss Journay that was well said.
Yes, sir. That was well said, Miss Journay.
And so, you see, Mr. Refazelli, for all the reasons this overrated upstart just gave, I think we should cancel our show for Good Friday.
The extra day will give Ostentatia enough time to heal and resume her role as Emily Dickinson.
Well, as much as I appreciate your convictions, Ostentatia, it doesn't really matter. Miss Journay is giving us such a superb portrayal of Emily Dickinson that I have decided to keep her in that role. When you are ready to return, I shall recast you as Elizabeth Oak Smith.
Elizabeth Oak Smith? Elizabeth Oak Smith? She has neither the renown nor the popularity of Emily Dickinson. To relegate me, to a second-tier role as this, in favor of this theatrical urchin, it's just unacceptable.
As the cast and crew dispersed and left the Ice Opera House for the evening, Nick Guy and I stayed behind in the hope of finding some clues that would help us understand the meaning behind some of the strange occurrences we had seen and experienced. We walked through the lobby and through the floor seating area and into the balcony and down the halls and corridors. As we came to the lower level, we saw someone prowling just near the costume and changing room. Well now, who could this be? If this is the person who's been playing the part of the Phantom of the Ice Opera, I want to get my hands on him and see if we can't get some answers. Oh, get ready, this could get a little rough. In fact, we may have to let our fists do the talking.
We slowly approached the prowler, who seemed unaware of our presence. We drew closer and closer, and then, when we were upon him, we caught him from behind.
So, will our heroes finally start getting some answers to some of their questions? Well, you'll want to be with us next time when we hear Nick Guy's fists, eh? So be sure to join us again next time for another exciting installment of Nick Guy, Private Eye, Wart Stang speaking.
Nick Guy and the Phantom of the Ice Opera Affair was written and produced by Frank Yulee with Rebecca Bradford and features the vocal talents of John and Rebecca Bradford, Ethan Maynard, and Frank Yulee. Well, to find out more about this topic or the Nick Guy Private Eye Apologetic Series, visit our website at nickguy.net. That's nickguy.net. And discover that sometimes the most amazing things must be true.